In lectures 14 and 15, we discussed Rav Hirsch's approach to the prohibition of chilev and dam, and in Shir 16, we will examine the additional chapter at the end of the book, which is how the Rishonim understand these same prohibitions of chilev and dam. Now, many of our Rishonim, in addition to being foremost experts in Torah, were also philosophers and doctors, and we could therefore find a variety of reasons for the prohibition of chelev and the prohibition of dam, including religious, mystical, and hygienic. It's actually going to come up quite a number of times. Rambam gives two reasons for the prohibition of chelev. In the Mora, the Rambam says that we cannot consume chelev since it's used for the Mizbeach, and the Torah forbids such fats. When it says in Vayikra 3:16, Kol chelev laHashem, that all the fat belongs to God. Rambam also lists a health reason. He says that any food that the Torah forbids is unhealthy, and by extension, that chelev, to give you an exact quote, makes us full, interrupts our digestion, and produces cold and thick blood. It is more fit for fuel than for human food. Now, as a side point, it's hard to take the hygienic reason too seriously, since we know that the world as a whole eats non-kosher animals, and they are overall physically healthy. And further, modern medicine understands fat to be harmful if eaten in large quantities, not specifically chelev, but all fats. And the idea of cold, thick blood is clearly not in sync with modern medication. Although one can certainly have a buildup in their circulatory system from eating in an unhealthy manner. On the other hand, we know clearly, as we discussed earlier, that food affects one in a very physical way. The Torah gives us reasons why we are not allowed to eat chelev in Vayikra. So clearly, any hygiene-related reason is in addition to what the Torah spells out for us, and these health reasons are an effect, a positive effect, that we reap from keeping the dietary laws. The author puts it in the following terms by saying that the purposes of the dietary laws belong to the sphere of religion and morality. By advancing both religious, ethical, and medical reasons, the Rishonim merely follow the Jewish view that the dietetics of the body and the dietetics of the soul are interrelated, which we know is absolutely the case. So just as an example, as far as I understand it, trichinosis was associated with eating pig meat until science learned that it was important to cook it for a certain amount of time. Since Jews never ate pig, they were saved from contracting trichinosis from such meat. On the other hand, Reform Jewry decided that they now understood why the Torah banned pork due to trichinosis. Now that they know how to get around the issue by cooking it, then Reform Jewry allowed pig meat. Now, such logic is in violation of the Torah in every way, and it ignores the fact that the Torah assered pig meat regardless of any health reason. So this whole hygiene approach is somewhat of a double-edged approach. Ramban has a similar hygienic approach to Rambam, in that he says that chelev is hard, thick, difficult to digest, and creates unhealthy fluids in the body. Ramban points out that these are secondary reasons, and again, that the primary reason for mitzvos is religious and ethical. We said that the Rambam understands the prohibition of blood is to keep us away from idolatrous practices. And Ramban says that while this might be true, the Torah itself tells us the reason when it refers to the life force of the animal. He says that the body of man should not absorb the soul or the spirit of an animal. Man, he says, has a nefesh maskelas. We have an intelligence and moral discipline, and we should not absorb what he calls the nefesh chiyunis, the life spirit of animals. We need to stay away from blending the moral soul of man with the transient soul of the animal. And we therefore use animal blood as part of Atonement, since it represents nefesh, but we do not consume any of this blood. Rashi, moving along, makes a connection between blood and the soul when he states that the nefesh is contingent on the blood. And Ramban rejects Rashi's explanation by saying that the blood is the carrier of life, but it is absolutely and totally separate from the nefesh itself. And it is a mistake to connect the soul and the blood directly to each other. Sefer HaChinuch takes a similar approach to Ramban. Rav Shmuel Karsa ibn Sneh, who wrote the Sefer Mekor HaChaim, says that both chilev and dam are metamtem es halev, which means that they influence man's character in an adverse manner. Ralbag, in addition to health reasons like we mentioned and religious reasons, he says one of the reasons that meat was not permitted in the desert unless one was bringing a karbon was in order to keep the people away from eating chilev. Abarbanel rejects any health reasons for the laws of kashrus and focuses on the religious, ethical, and mystical. According to the Abarbanel, blood and fat are prohibited due to the sacrificial service. The blood, he says, represents both the blood and the soul of man. The Torah tells us, ki hadam hu panefesh shechaper. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So the Abarbanel writes, nefesh does not refer to man's soul, but rather to the lower animalistic urges in man, and the karbon, when brought with proper teshuvah, atones for this nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi discusses fat and blood in the Kuzari, and he states, as others do, that we cannot partake of these items since they are set aside for God as part of karbanos. Later on, he discusses a more mystical approach that the brain is supposed to rule all of the body's senses that are dependent upon it. Any organ under the diaphragm represents primary nature. In an animal, the portion above the diaphragm represents the vegetative world, and the part below represents the animal world, as we've been discussing. In a human, the neck separates the animal portion from the rational part of man. So from here we see a third distinction that applies to humans. He points out that no organ which is above the diaphragm, so for example, the lungs, the brain, the heart, including the diaphragm itself, none of these are included as the selected sacrificial parts. Ibn Ezra states similarly that since chilev is set aside for God, it is usher for us. And in terms of blood, since physiologically blood represents life, we cannot have it. And additionally, in both a psychological and a mystical way, the consumption of blood corrupts man's soul, which causes damage to him forever, which presumably means that it's passed on to his progeny. Sefer Nitzachon, which is a 15th century work, so we're moving on here, says that consuming blood causes the human intellectual soul to assume the nature of an animal soul. So finally, Dayan Grunfeld ends off with examining Reb Chaim ben Moshe ibn Attar's approach, otherwise well known as the Or HaChaim, which is a Lurianic Kabbalistic look at the matter. And I should just state that if it's not blatantly obvious already, that I'm not Kabbalistically inclined in any way, and I'm hesitant to summarize a view that I really don't know anything about, but I'm quoting this here because he includes it in the Sefer, and we're trying to get a feel for as many of the ideas as possible that are associated with the Isurim of Chelev and Dam. So even if I don't understand the ideas or have any association with them, I still think it's worth summarizing the approach. And when one hears ideas in general, you have an appreciation as to which approach is being taken. Now, whether one decides to, so to say, follow this approach is a different question entirely. And we discussed Rav Hirsch's approach to Kabbalah in the 19 Letters series. So just to take a look at his approach at the Or HaChaim, he says that there are different levels of souls, and that the souls of Bnei Yisrael are at the highest degree of souls. And he bases this on Devarim 32:9, which says, Hashem's portion is his people, And Yaakov is the lot of his inheritance. That is a pasuk in Ha'azinu. Human souls, even though they are on earth, they have their roots in heaven. Animals, on the other hand, have their souls rooted in the earth. And Dan Grunfeld actually says they have their souls rooted in formless, dark, and hylic forces. Now, when this blood enters man, it displaces and supplants his higher soul. The result of this displacement of his soul with the animal soul has a bad influence. It severs man's connection with God. He bases this on the pasuk in Vayikra 27:10, which says, "V'ish ish mibeis Yisrael min hager hagar b'socha masher yochal kol dam v'nosati fanai b'nefesh ochel eses hadam v'chrati osah mikerev ama. I will set my face against that soul that eats blood and will cut him off from among his people." So this is Karis, as we discussed earlier. The author goes on to mention three levels of the human soul, as well as different levels of the animal souls between kosher and non-kosher animals. And I'm just going to read the rest inside. By partaking of blood, the Jew would change the whole structure of his personality, uproot himself from his divine creator, lose his higher soul, and exchange it by one of a lower animalic order. After the flood, man was given permission by God to consume only the meat of the animal, but not its blood, which contains the soul and life force of the animal. Hence, the solemnity of the divine warning, only be sure that you not eat the blood, for the blood is the life, and you may not eat the life with the flesh. You shall not eat it. You should pour it upon the earth as water. You shall not eat it, that it should go well with you and with your children after you, when you shall do what is right in the sight of Hashem. So I hope that last point was worth touching on, even though we really didn't get into all the detail that the author maps out. And this concludes our discussion of the prohibition of chelev and dam, where we discussed Rav Hirsch's opinion at length, as well as Rambam. We mentioned, at least in passing, many of our great philosophers and their approach to this topic, including their hygienic approach, which, as we've shown, has a certain danger that's involved in it. And the next time, we will continue with the topic of Nevela and Treifa.